Eternal God, our loving Father, again we come this moment in worship. But Lord, again we do what you have called us to do. We gather and we sit and listen to hear what you will say to the church. And God, we pray, as we so often do, that you would open our eyes and our ears, and Lord, make our hearts to be like fertile ground. Oh God, that we might learn and live better today than we did on yesterday. And God, we thank you that you let us live long enough that we could come again to hear what you are saying. Forgive us of our sins, we do pray, and ask that you would have mercy on us. And God, that we would live to the glory of God, that the world would know that we have been with you, and that we can declare with assurance that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And thank you, God, that you've given me an opportunity again to stand behind this sacred place. God, give preaching power and authority. And I will only say, Lord, that you've done it before. And I know you can do it again. Preach in us, to us, through us, and let preaching lead us to greater glory. In your name, in your honor, and that you would be proud of us. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, 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 and amen. Come on, let's bless the Lord by putting our hands together. Come on, everybody, make a noise that all of the communities around us will hear, that there is a worshiping people up on that corner. They are blessing the Lord. Come on, come on. Amen, amen. Amen. You can be seated. If you were here on last week, you already know where we're going. You don't even have to trouble yourself because I know you remember. Psalm 124. Amen. Amen. And we're going to finish kind of where we left off at. Amen. As I was saying to you on last week, it is important for us to recognize as we, ushers, you may be seated. God bless you. As we were celebrating in the month of February, our history. And I told you last week in the title of our sermon, Stony the Road We Trod. Because we have come a long way. I'll say it again, we've come a long way. And we didn't get here all by ourselves. And there's some good news in that all alone, that we didn't get here all by ourselves. I think at some point in our lives, there are probably moments when we felt alone, isolated, cut off. But the truth of the matter is, God has never left us. In fact, the writer declared that he had never seen the righteous forsaken, nor has he witnessed his seed begging bread. But God has been faithful. Okay, you. Now this is a pickup from where we left off. Shouldn't take you long to catch up, but God has been faithful, and so okay. The reality for us is that we ought to always remember, because how you remember sets up how you rejoice. That's why the old folks said, every time I think about the goodness of the Lord. And all he see, all right, I'm going to have to work harder than I thought I would. How you remember sets up how you rejoice. And I've come to tell you that standing from this place, I recognize that some of you must have bad memory. Because I stand and watch you on Sunday mornings, and where there ought to be some significant shouting, there's some silence. Where there ought to be some folks standing up, too many folks sitting down. where there ought to be some kind of hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Too many folk are sucking their teeth and rolling their eyes. But how you remember determines how you rejoice. And if you don't remember what God has done, you've got some memory problems. You ought to remember that he kept you when your enemies were trying to kill you. You ought to remember that he protected you when folk came to kill you. You ought to remember that you couldn't get here all by yourself, that God picked you up and turned you around, put running in your feet and clapping in your hands. God is the one that told you to run on because he loves you and he'll never leave you and he won't forsake you. But you ought to remember that it was the Lord on my side. That's why they were right when they said, every time I think about it. And some of us are too dictated by the moment. If the choir isn't up, we not up. If the choir ain't singing, we ain't singing. If the preacher ain't about to pass out, we ain't doing nothing. But you ought to just remember. And so it is, the psalm writer declared, God bless you, the psalm writer declared that if it had not been the Lord on our side. If you read again, as I asked you on last week, when you read into the furtherance of the psalm, you would discover that they had a whole lot of stuff going on. Their enemies were rising up against them. The flood waters was upon them. They felt trapped. They felt that they had people who just wanted to destroy them. And again, on this Sunday morning, we may not have that problem at all. To be honest with you, our military boasts that it is the baddest military in all the land. So our shores are protected. You know, in fact, United States Navy has a commercial that they run, you know, where they show a couple standing in the middle of some major metropolitan city, and each camera shot shows another naval personnel and another naval personnel, and they show a guy in a scuba suit, and they show a guy with a rifle, and they show a Navy SEAL, and then when they pan out, you see this big circle of naval personnel, and the end of the commercial said, before they get to you, they got to get through us. Man, I like that commercial. Should have been an Army commercial, but I like that commercial. Because what they're saying is you are so protected because you have a Navy, you have an Army and Marines and Air Force. And before the enemy can get to you, they got to get through us. I remember during the Gulf War, Saddam Hussein made a foolish proclamation that his armies would be marching upon the shores of the United States. They couldn't even get out of their own country. But that was his proclamation. He said there'd be blood on the streets of America. And God bless George W. Bush. He said, not in my lifetime. If he got anything right, he got that one right. But because we are so protected, and I don't think we have many problems with waters engulfing us. I don't think we have too many problems with the torrents coming against us. But the reality for us is what the psalm writer declared. That even in 2016, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, we all face our share of ups and downs, ins and outs, tight moments, you know, moments when we don't know what we're going to do. The reality for us is sometimes life presents itself as a little bit more than we can handle, but we've got help. If there's anything I can get you to understand is what Nehemiah told him. He said, listen, we don't have nothing to worry about because God is going to help us. Am I right about it? Let me see if I can get some of y'all to come on board with me. How many of you remember when you were growing up, you knew you had that one ace in your corner? You had either a big brother or a crazy uncle or somebody who had a reputation of being a bully, you know, and folk wouldn't mess with you because they'll say stuff like, no, that's so-and-so brother. And they'll say, well, you know, his uncle killed a guy. You know, you had that fallback person in your life. Any of y'all remember that? How many of y'all was that person? Oh, no, okay, come y'all honest. Thank you. But the reality is, no matter what happens, all of us long for some kind of backup. Nobody wants to be out there by themselves. And that's what Nehemiah said. Nehemiah said, hey, we ain't got to worry about them. Because God is going to help us.
Now, again, I don't know where your shout reserves are. I don't know what makes you stand up when you stand up like you do. I don't know what makes you wave. But if there's anything that I can tell you ought to make you is when I tell you that God is going to help you. If there's anything you ought to know that you know that you know, that is that God is a very present help. Even in the times of my struggle. And so it is, he said, listen, because God's on our side. And Reverend Uriel, I think that's when Grandma and them wrote that song, Through It All. I've learned to trust in Jesus. Through it all, I've learned to trust in, he said, the Lord will make a way somehow. And so it is, beloved of God, that we are cautioned now in this state of mind to remember. And he said to them, he said, now the reason I need y'all to remember is because life can be somewhat unstable at times. Now remember, they've been through a whole lot. David himself has been through a whole lot. And the characters of our Bible have a rich history of getting in trouble. It's going to get quiet long through here. Because don't nobody want to admit this one, but we have a history of getting in trouble. Amen. I don't want you to look around at nobody. I'm going to try to hurry along through this. But how many of you know that sometimes your self-confidence wrote a check that your self-confidence couldn't cash? I'm saying it nice so Miss Davis don't get mad at me. You do know that every now and then you are your own worst enemy. Amen. Mama told you not to come, but you went anyway. They warned you. You better not come back down here. How many of y'all have been barred in the neighborhood, been told by the rival gang, you better not cross this line. You better not cross Fifth Street no more. You better not come across New Darrington Boulevard. You better not come over here. Because if you come back over here, it's kind of like in the movie Mad Max when they had my beloved Tina Turner, and they were going to the Thunderdome. They said, two men enter and one man leave. Any of y'all ever been through that situation where you know if you go in there, you might go in there in one piece, but you coming out in a whole lot of other pieces. And so it is that we all understand what it is to get ourselves in trouble. Amen. I don't want you to wave your hand. I don't want you to nod your head. I just want you to blink your eyes at me real strategically if you is who I'm talking to. You know what it means to get in trouble. I'm trying to read, but I keep blinking because the fact of the matter is that what he says to us is, because life is as life is, we do need some help. And so he reminds us, if it had not been the Lord, and as I said to you on last week, let's make sure we understand, he's showing you that this ain't no happenstance. This is prophetic. This is the will of God concerning you. Again, let me see if I can catch you up a little bit. Is there anybody else in here beside me? And I need you to be honest now because I'm trying to hurry along. We ain't got but a few minutes. But is there anybody else in here beside me that because life is what life is, that you have taken the opportunity to strategically write little notes to remind you in strategic places that you run to every now and then as your hideout? You know, all of us got to have a fallback zone. You got to have some place. And I'm just asking now. You don't have to answer if it ain't you, but is there anybody else in here beside me that has written little notes in little places, and only thing you write on the note is, and this is what I got on my note, and you can write on your note whatever you want to write on your note, but my note says, if it ain't one thing, it's another. I got it in little places. I got it in little places. So when I get there, I can remind myself that this is not unusual. Am I right about it? Anybody in here got a testimony that say, been there, done that? Anybody else beside me that know that I have been down this road before, but the fact of the matter is, if it had not been the Lord, if it had not been, because Satan does not give advance warning of his attacks. He'll just show up out of nowhere. And so it is, beloved of God, we need to recognize that there is a God who is God, who is remaining ever vigilant and ready to defend us. Amen. He is a prime witness in every case. And so it is, as Paul would remind the church, he said, listen, y'all need to be mindful because you got to be vigilant and you got to be sober because you have an adversary. Am I right about it? He said, and listen, the demands of life require that you put on the whole armor of God. Now stay with me now. He does not say that once you put on the armor, you don't need God. But he's saying put the armor on and you need God. Put on. Some of us are the kind of people, Audrey, that we're very confident in ourselves. You know, I know that they're big guys and they're little guys and they're big gals and little gals. And I'm going to tell you now, never underestimate a little gal or a little guy. Amen. Because they pack dynamite in small packages. But some of us think, you know, we got it going on and we don't need nobody. We've declared our independence, you know, and we think because we can fight a little bit. And as I told you last week, one of the things I used to tell my soldiers when I was, you know, training them, you know, don't mess around and hit me and can't fight. That's a big mistake. Anybody ever been there? You know, people underestimated you and thought you were a little soft, you know, and they figure, oh, this old thing, you know, she ain't nothing. I'm going to walk up in. Watch me go over here and slap her. And then by the time you came out of surgery, you were asking for what happened. And the reality for us is, and we're going now, this is it, Coach Palmer, that we have to be mindful that we are sometimes too confident. Yeah, some of us are too confident because we think that because, again, Nike said, just do it, and we did it. That's silly if you ask me. Be honest with you, you got to be very mindful of everything you do. Am I right about it? You know, you think because, you know, I was watching the little fight last night, and the little girl, you know, a few weeks ago, you know, she beat up Ronda Rousey. You know, so Holly Holm thought she was bad to the bone. And last night, she got beat up. You know what goes around comes around sometime in about 2 weeks. You know, you can't be too confident. You got to be very careful not to be overly confident. And so it is, that's what the psalm writer was saying. He said, listen, I mean, I know that the Lord is my shepherd. I know that God is a very present help. He said, but I'm going to tell you now, I've always known to depend on God. And some of us situation now, you know, you're thinking about it because you've been so confident, you know. You walk around talking about, I can do all things through Christ, but you keep leaving Christ out. You know, you keep walking around talking, greater is he that is in me, but you keep leaving him out. And I'm telling you now that it is a fact, beloved of God, that you can't do nothing without the Lord. Okay, three of y'all agree with me. I'm going to say it again because I know I'm right. You can't do nothing without the Lord. In fact, Grandmama and them had a song, said, I can't even eat without him. I can't put my shoes on without him. I can't even walk without him. I need him every hour, and every hour I need him. And then the second thing is that not often are we too confident, but sometimes we take credit for stuff we don't need to take credit for. Mm-hmm. We say stuff like, I did this and I did that. You know, Peter and John, trying to teach y'all a lesson, Sister Walker, because Peter and John teach us how to put the credit back on God. You remember Peter and John. Can I preach long through here? I'm feeling it now. Peter and John are on their way to have an afternoon service, and there's a man out there begging, and Peter and John are easing by, and they say to him, look on us, but they put all the credit to God. Okay, some of y'all missed that because, see, some of y'all, you like to put all the credit on you. I got me a job. I went to college. I paid my bill. Some of y'all sound like Gloria Swanson in the movie Sunset Boulevard. Y'all remember Gloria Swanson in Sunset Boulevard? That's why y'all ought to go somewhere sometime. But Gloria Swanson in Sunset Boulevard, you know, she says, I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille. She thought it was all about her, but the premise of the movie is she crazy. She tripping hard, and she thinks she's still an actress of repute. She thinks she done lost it. She ain't got it no more. She looking bad now, you know. But she thinks she's still somebody, and she's taking credit for being ready for something that she ain't ready for. And a whole lot of us in this church right here, right now, have taken credit for stuff that we should have gave credit to God for. I know you got a house. I know you got a job. I know you married your boo. But instead of saying I, you ought to say him. Look at your neighbor and say, not I, but him. Look at another neighbor and say, not I, but him. Because if it had not been the Lord, I know you're smart. I know you're laudate, cum laude. I know you got your accolades. I know you got your trophies. I know you've been promoted. I read your review. I read your investigation reports. I read your information report. But I'm telling you now, honey, you are nothing without Jesus. Look, ain't nobody shouting. I'm going to say it again. You are nothing without Jesus. You ain't done nothing without Jesus. You can't walk without him. You can't talk without him. You can't comb your weave without him. I'm telling you now, if it had not been the law. Can I go back, Sister Harmony, to what I said earlier? How you remember dictates, how you rejoice. Some of y'all ain't rejoicing because y'all done took credit and you can't remember. I'm telling you now that every time the name of Jesus gets uttered, somebody ought to shout, thank you, Lord. Every time somebody says, Lord, somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Every time somebody says, God, somebody ought to shout, thank you, Father. Why? Because if it had not. And Aunt Sarah was right. He's been better to you than you've been to yourself. Then he reminds us, okay, Reverend, Job comes to mind. Job says to us, listen, I recognize something. Sometimes I say stuff I don't know what I'm talking about. Am I right about it? Look at your neighbor. Don't say nothing, just look at him. Because some of us have taken credit. And the credit wasn't ours. You think you are all that in a bag of Fritos. But without God, you just cornmeal in a sack. I'm telling you now, God put the flavor in them net chips. God put the pizzazz in them net chips. And he reminds us not to forget him. Remember what he told the old church? He said, listen, when your houses are built and your cows are fat and your money looking good, don't you forget me. And I believe, Deacon McKenzie, that some of us are guilty as charged. Because we have seemingly forgotten the Lord. Pastor, how dare you suggest to us we has forgotten the Lord? Because we are not worshiping him like we ought to. We're not shouting about him like we ought to. We're not giving him the glory like we ought to. Because this church ought to be full of jumpers, skippers, and hoppers right now. Because we're thinking on the goodness of the Lord. That man up there talking trash, poking and provoking and provoking me. He's right though. I forgot who brought me this far. I forgot who picked me up and turned me around. I forgot who paid for my sins. I forgot the food on my table. I forgot these clothes on my back. Truly the Lord has been good and he's worthy of my praise. Look at your name and tell him you ought to be doing something. And so it is. So it is. We're almost there. So it is. I know it's 1 o'clock. So it is. The issue then becomes, what has happened to this people? Remember now, he says to them, he said, if it had not been the Lord. And then he says, say it again. If it had not been. And what he's saying, first of all, here it is. I'm going now. I told you, Sandra, how it was going to come. One, I told y'all, you got to realize it. I truly believe in this moment that it is 1 o'clock. I really believe that some of y'all don't realize it. Some of y'all don't realize it. Some of y'all don't realize it. That if it had not been the Lord. Some of y'all don't realize it. See, I'm going back to what I just told you about being confident in credit. I've heard you say it. I've watched and witnessed you not realize it. Some of y'all walk around like everything just automatic. As the fifth dimension would remind us, when the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, some of y'all rather follow your horoscope than the word of God. Come on and talk back to me now. Some of us think that just because we were born in a particular family or because somebody got a little money and paid for something, you don't realize it, but I'm telling you now that you better recognize it. If it had not been the law, You didn't realize it. That's what he tells the people. Then he said to them, you ought to recite it. He said, say it again. Look at him and say it again. He said, recite it. How many of y'all have been in a recital, one of them plays or some pageants or something? What's the key to a good pageant? Huh? Know your lines. I thought you said show your line. I was going to say you're at the wrong service. That's afternoon service. No, you and how do you know your line? What do we call it? Rehearsal. Not your name and tell them, realize it. Rehearse it. And recite it. There you go. Realize. That's three right there. You need to realize it. You got to rehearse it and recite it. That's what he told me. He said, now say it. He said it first, and that's called rehearsal. Sandra, I'm about to get in trouble. I do now know why some folk don't recognize it. Here it is. Brother Tyler, you can relate to this. Some folk don't come to rehearsal. Okay, for some of y'all trying to figure out what rehearsal, worship. This is where we rehearse it. This is where we practice. This is where we get our collective act together. Y'all ain't feeling it like I said. This is rehearsal. We come every Sunday so we can realize it, recognize it, recite it, rehearse it, and then put it into play. Let me see. Athletes, coach, you coach, you know. Does the player get to play that don't practice? No, sir. Look at the name, tell him you're going to be riding the pine a while. You don't practice. There you go. Thank you, Cedric. You know the rule. And in the body of Christ, one of the reasons why we can't recite it is because we don't rehearse it. And we don't rehearse it because we don't recognize it. You better know that it is the Lord that has done this. Look at your name and tell him that's the only reason I'm still alive. It's the Lord that done this. I recognize. Then he said, listen, you better recite that and rehearse it. He tell him, he said, listen, practice it. Some of y'all ought to go home today, stand in the mirror and recite it and rehearse it until you get it right. I said, recite it, rehearse it till you get it right. You ought to stand there and do the me. Get you some of that lemon water and gargle and keep telling yourself, if it had not been the Lord, get your game face. You know, sometimes you got to, and say it again, if it had not been the Lord. Stop taking credit. Stop being overly confident and rehearse it. No, that don't sound right. Back up, come back in. If it had not been, until you get it right, you ought to keep rehearsing. And then next Sunday we come to church. Won't take us so long to get fired up. Won't take us so long to feel better about the thing. Won't take us listening. The choir won't have to work so hard. I was back there listening. When they were singing that beautiful song about him being glorified. And boy, I'm saying to myself, what are they waiting for? Man, if y'all had rehearsed that, as soon as the choir starts singing it, y'all would have been moving. Y'all come in and took a mic. Because you know what they're talking about. All I want is for him to be. See, that's when I knew I was preaching good today. Because that ain't what all y'all want. Because if that's what some of y'all want, because you had rehearsed it, you would have been ready. You would have jumped right in there and you would have told him, y'all better sing that song. I came to lift him up. I came to recognize him. I came to glorify him. I came to shout his name. I came to praise him. I know that the Lord is on my side. Surely the Lord is in this place. And then he said, not only must you gotta realize it, you gotta recognize it, you gotta recite it. He said, now go report that. He said, you go tell them who did this. Isn't that what he told the lepers? Y'all remember that story about the lepers? Jesus said, go tell them. Who did this? Notice what's interesting about that. There was a time whenever Jesus did something, he said, shh. I think Jesus said, no, it's time for me to get some credit around here. that like Miss Sophia said, I'm back now. They ain't going to change around here. He said, go report that. And that's why, beloved God, y'all remember some of you old saints, Miss Davis, Miss Penn, Sister Woodson, some of you older saints, God bless y'all. Y'all remember when testimony service was testimony service. We have testimony service now. Poor deacon standing there. Is there one? Can I get one? Is there another? You know why? We don't realize it. We don't recognize it. We don't recite it. We don't rehearse it. And we don't report it. Somebody say, Pastor, you sure preaching right now. That's why we stand up here begging folk to come up and say what they should have been rehearsing. Your testimony, if it ain't nothing but. Say, neighbor, first giving honor to God. It's my story. You remember that little song they taught us? This is my story. This is my song. Look at me, this man. I've come to tell the world that I know somebody. I wish I had a witness in here that knows somebody. Is there anybody left among the saints of God that still knows Mary's little baby, still knows the rose of Sharon, still knows the bright morning star? My question then is, ain't God all right? Woo! He said, now you got to report that. And then he said, Luther, as we get ready to let y'all go about your business, because we got to come back here in a little bit. He said, You ought to realize that. You ought to recognize that. Then you ought to recite, rehearse. You ought to make sure that you report that. But then he says, Muriel, the part that I think ought to wake up them three or four that ain't done nothing yet. He said, you ought to rejoice in that. There's an old song that we sing in church, Raven, that simply says, he hasn't made me glad. He hasn't made me glad. Y'all remember that song, you old saints? You remember, you people who collect in retirement and disability now? You remember that song, he hasn't made me glad. He hasn't made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He hasn't made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has, and okay, stop right there. See, that still ain't everybody. So I'm thinking some of y'all still missing rehearsal. I think that a rehearsed people are a better people. Let me see if I can make this work for you. He says that if it had not been the Lord, why are we so happy? Well, let me tell you. Why? Very quickly, first of all, realize there are some things that we all share in common. I'm getting ready to go now, so if you're going to help me, here's a good place to start. First of all, let me tell you why we should all rejoice. We have all suffered adversity. Look at the name and tell him, it hadn't always gone my way. Amen. Look at another name and say, if I had my way about it. Yeah. See, we've all had adversity, and so the Bible says that there is no temptation that is not common to everybody. Look at somebody you can trust. Some of y'all might have to move around on this one, but can you move around and tell somebody, I done messed up before? You can't tell everybody that now. Demetri, don't tell Eric that because he'll take it the wrong way. You can't tell Raven, don't say nothing to Jasmine. She'll tell on you. Your mama be calling your job saying, well, what was Jasmine talking about when she said you messed up? Where you messed up at? You know, you gotta realize that temptation comes to everybody. Then here's another one. You gotta be careful with this one here too. Now, some of y'all certainly gonna move to the other side of the church. But can you look at somebody and say, I gave in once or twice? I heard some of y'all say, I gave in a lot. I didn't tell you to say it like that. He said, listen, we've all had some adversity because it's coming to everybody. You can't let everybody know where you messed up at. But I know somebody who, even when you messed up, stayed on your side. I know somebody that when your mother and father forsake you, he'll stay on your side. I know somebody, when they pull your club card and take away your parking place, he'll stay on your side. I know somebody, when the divorce papers have been served and the lawyer tried to take everything, he'll stay on your side. I know somebody, when they won't let you preach on Sunday and don't come to Bible study on Thursday, I know somebody who will stay on your side. I know somebody that when you're face down in the mud will pick you up, turn you around, and tell you everything is going to be all right. Is there anybody here that heard him say, you're going to be all right? We've had adversity. We've had adversity. But then too, Pat Price, we've also all suffered because of the adversary. Can I finish today? I know y'all ready to go, but the adversary is busy. You know the adversary. Sad to say, here it is. Melvin, everybody ain't going to agree with me on this one, but I'm preaching. I feel my help coming. It's sad to say that the adversary ain't always the devil. Don't nobody look around. Sandra, keep your side of the church straight. Says Walker, keep your side over here straight. Tell everybody, head and eyes straight to the front. Because sadly, the adversary has sometime been you. Sometime you jacked up your own self. Talk back to me now. I'm telling you now that it ain't always the devil. And then sometime it's people we trust. Sometime it's people we love. How many of y'all ever been around folk who told you, promise, cut the wrist, shed blood, wrote it on the wall that they ain't gonna tell nobody, and they told. Your secret is safe with me. Only when you die. How many been around folk that you wish you had never took their text, email, or phone call? Because they became adversarial. Every accomplice is not accomplished. Y'all will figure that out. But the adversary ain't always the devil. David reminds us of it. David said, it's my fault. I put myself in a trick when Nathan came to him and said, listen, you do know that you is the man. David couldn't blame nobody. He couldn't say, well, it's somebody else's fault. He said, no, you the man. Look at one neighbor and said, can you handle that kind of truth? That sometimes you have been your own worst enemy. I'm getting ready to leave you now because I see some of y'all is tired and you realize it's 15 after 1. I know, but this is Brookville. This ain't no other church. You know how we roll over here. Till pastor finish, he don't stop. I cut you a break last week and let you come to part two, but I got to get it done today. And so he said, listen, please understand that because we've all had adversity, it's coming to everybody. But we also have to face our adversary. And I've come to tell you that the adversary is not always Satan. Sometimes the adversary is self. And as much as I go back to my two previous points, because you've been so confident and you were so willing to take all the credit, you ought to go ahead and confess. That's C3. I like that. Really, brother. Boy, so smart. You need to understand, beloved of God, that if you'll just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, I believe God will give you point number three and the close. What is point number three, Sandra, and the close? I told you last week we've all had adversity. I told you last week that I would tell you today that we've all had an adversary. But here's where I get my shout now, because the Bible teaches us, and it's right there in the psalm, it's right there in the text, and that is, hear the shout, Sandra, that we've all got the answer. Yeah. Oh, man, y'all missed it. Inasmuch as you have suffered through these things, and inasmuch as you've had setbacks and disappointments, the Bible showed that we've all got the answer. It's right here. The Bible says in verse number 8, he said, listen, our help is in the name of the Lord. Look at your name and say, neighbor, that's the answer. No matter what you've gone through in life, no matter what your circumstances or situations have dictated or determined, no matter what detriment you've been through, I've come to tell you today that you have the answer. You don't have to turn up the bottle. You don't have to go to the drug. You don't have to get crack cocaine. You do know the answer. Sometime you just need to settle down and search your soul, because Jesus is the answer. I know you've tried a whole lot of things and you've been a whole lot of places, but I wish I could get one witness here beside Luther Palmer and Jess that would tell somebody around you that you do know the answer. And the answer is in Christ Jesus. That's why the Bible reminds us that the Lord is our very present help. That's why the Bible reminds us that we can call on the name of the Lord. I wish I had somebody here that can tell somebody here that I called on that name. I tried that name when I was in trouble. I tried that name when my money got short. I tried that name when my family walked out on me. I tried that name when I couldn't find a job. I tried that name in the midnight of my existence, when I was tossing and turning, turning and tossing. Somewhere along midnight, I found out that if I call that name, I call on the wonderful name, I call on the majestic name, I call on the powerful name. I didn't call on the Wizard of Oz. I didn't call on the Magic Man, but I called on Jesus. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, there's something about that name. When you call on the name of Jesus, everything starts to line up. Demons behave themselves. Children start acting right. Marriages get a little bit better. The job gets a little less stressful. When you call on the name of Jesus, is there anybody in this room that know that Jesus is on the main line? You can call him up and tell him what you want. Can I tell y'all a secret? I tried him for myself and I found out that he's all right. I found out that when I came back my own way, that if I follow in his path, in other words, he said, listen, I'll be a light unto your path and a lamp unto your feet. Grandma put it this way, he walks with me and talks with me and tells me that I am his own. Look at another neighbor that you haven't bothered already and tell that neighbor, say, neighbor, if you hold his hand, he'll hold your hand. If you talk with him, he'll talk with you. If you love on him, he'll love on you. Won't he do it? Can he do it? Can you tell your neighbor that you haven't bothered already, that I saw it in the text, if it had not been the Lord on my side, I could have been dead and sleeping in my grave. I could have been broke, busted, and disgusted, but Jesus made a way somehow. Is there anybody here? He made a way somehow. Can you just wave back at me and say, Pastor, I realize that God's been good to me. I should have been shouting. I should have been running. I should have been praising. But I was thinking too deep. But now that we're here at the close of the service, I'm not going to leave my best praise. I'm not going to leave my best shout. I'm not going to leave my best hallelujah. I'm going to give it over to God. I'm going to lift up my hands, lift up my voice, lift up my praise, and tell him thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. They stretched him wide. They put nails in his hand, put a crown on his head. They thought they had him, but he had an answer early. Early one Sunday morning, didn't he rise? Look at your name, say, neighbor, go all in. God's got the answer. He will rise. Won't he rise? Didn't he rise? Say thank you. Say glory. Say peace. Say love. Say joy. All that. All that. All that. He's all that. Isn't he all that? Isn't he all that? Yes, yes, yes. I got the answer. Whatever I'm going through, if it had not been the Lord who was on my side, I'm going to keep rehearsing it. I'm going to keep reciting it. I'm going to keep reporting it. Some folk gonna get sick of you. Here you go again with that. Yes. Here I go again with that. Because I am honored to rejoice in the fact that the Lord is my help. He brought me. I didn't get here by myself. I realize it. I took credit where credit was mine to take. I thought because I studied hard in school, I thought because I stayed late on the job. But now I realize, had not been the Lord. I didn't understand it then, but Pastor, thank you. I got it now. I've been through my share of troubles. Just as James Weldon Johnson remind us, the dark past has taught us. Some of us are slow learners, says Scott, but I see it now. I didn't get here by myself. And all of the things I've been through have taught me that he is a strong deliverer. God maximizes where I made my mess. It's what I've been through that makes me who I am. Look at your name and tell him, neighbor, you looking at a real somebody here. Yes, sir. I've been through the fire. But I came out like pure gold. I've got to leave you because you look tired and you need to go and get that sandwich right quick and get back here for the 3 o'clock service. Deacon McKenzie, I made up my mind. Finished up this summary. I added a few little extra notes, but I made up my mind that it's worth it. It's worth it. Why? Because the Lord is on my side. You do know that some of what you have handled with the help of the Lord, other folk would have lost their mind. They were telling me the other day about the young fella that fell off the bridge. You know, some of the folk, if they had to read your story, they're going to go jump. Anybody ever been around you and you told them your story and they looked and said, I feel sorry for you? You said, no, honey, don't feel sorry for me. It is my story that got him the glory. Oh, come on, talk to me. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Let's stand on our feet together. I know y'all want to go. Some of y'all been standing and sitting and standing and sitting. Y'all like worshipers. Some of y'all ain't moved since you got here. I was going to call the funeral home. so we can get you on out of here, because we got an afternoon service. We can't have no dead bodies sitting here after 3 o'clock service start, you know. I mean, Eric got a broke arm, and he was waving the other one. Some of y'all, both of y'all arms good. Y'all been sitting there looking all deep. Looking like, what's that guy named supposed to be so smart in the wheelchair? What his name is? Y'all know him. He know everything. No, what is that guy name in the wheelchair? Huh? Hawking, yeah, thank you. Some of y'all act like y'all Stephen Hawking. You know everything. You know, no, you ain't no Stephen Hawking. You ain't no Hawk. You Chicken Little or something. Reverend, because I'm talking about you, don't mean you got to leave. No, I'm just kidding. But while we're standing on our feet together, I want to extend to you an invitation to God who is on your side. Truly, the Lord has been favorable with us. I can look at you. I know some of your stories. And God has been good to you. And all he wants you to do is recognize that and rejoice. Worship ought to be vibrant, visual, and visionary. Because what we have gone through, others can get through. And what we know of the Lord, we ought to tell somebody. You know that old song that you sang, Miss Penn, in the church that said I wasn't going to tell nobody. But I couldn't keep it to myself. What the Lord has done for me. Just nudge one more neighbor who can stand to be bothered one more time and tell him he did it. Yeah, he did it. I can't help but report it. And if you're here today and you don't know him and the pardon of your sin, if you don't know that he did it, if you thought it was your intellect, you thought it was your influence and your company, no, you didn't get there. You didn't get that highfalutin job. You didn't get that house or car and the promotion because of man. The Lord's been on your side. I'm telling you, here and now, the Lord has given you favor. But if you don't know him, you can't lay claim to a God that you don't know. And you can't show up at his door and request promise and you don't have relationship. I mean, you think about it. Which one of you can just go to an arbitrary person's house and say, you need to give me this, or you need to provide. They'll look at you and go, whose child are you? Well, what's your name? Where you from? But when you have a father and you live as a child under the Father's blessing, nothing shall be denied them who call upon the name of the Lord. Anybody know there's something about that name? You call that name, boy, and I tell you what. So if you've not accepted him as Lord and Savior in your life, I'm not asking you, do you go to church? I'm not asking you, do you have discipleship in the choir or something? No, I'm asking you, are you the Lord's disciple? Have you accepted him as Lord and Savior? And when you do, as we said last Sunday, you got to get serious, man. You got to go all in with the Lord. Nothing should come first. Save the name of Jesus. Is there anybody today that wants to give your life to Christ? Anybody today? If you're here today, I certainly would encourage you to make your decision now. While the blood is running warm in your veins, there is no praise from the grave. Nobody from the grave ever gives their life to Christ. And so while you have that opportunity, if you're here. Secondly, I want to encourage you to know that as much as you may not have realized it, you have not recited it, you have not recognized it, you haven't rehearsed it, there's a thing called restitution, reconciliation, and restoration that the Lord offers you today. If you've been getting it wrong, if you sat here through these 43 minutes of preaching and you didn't move not one time, you know, you're looking around to see what everybody else doing and why they're doing, you need restitution. You need reconciliation and rest. You need to realize that I was preaching to you too. And you ought to come tell God that you're sorry. That you sit up in his house all these great number of Sundays and you did not realize it.
You didn't recite it. You didn't rehearse it. You didn't report it. And you certainly didn't rejoice. You just sitting here like when it's going to be over, and we just shouting ourselves over because we realize it. I know my Redeemer lives. I know I can't make it without him. I ain't going to fool myself. And I'm going to give him the praise and the glory. Just as Sister Walker was leading that song, you ought to make sure he gets the glory. And that you see him lifted up. I think we want to keep that song handy. I like that one. I'm going to add that one with the one Elizabeth sang for me. When all he asks of you is to say yes. That's two on my top 10 list right there. And so you in the congregation, when you see me pointing at Elizabeth or Harmony, go on and do that. There he go again, because they're my songs now. And Deacon McKenzie has given me full pastoral authority. I'm the new sheriff. I can hear my song when I want. That's my song. So when I go, Elizabeth, just say yes. Harmony, glory. Y'all, come on with it. Make a medley out of it. Amen. All right. Last thing I want to say to you, if you're not discipled in some church locally, if you're here on college assignment, if you're here on a temporary job assignment and you need a church home, we'll be glad to have you with us. We're glad to have you. I don't particularly engage in that watch care kind of thing. You need a church home, and you ought to be solid about that. You know, you ought to be a disciple in the church. If you get ready to go back, then you can say, well, I'm going back, and we can tell them you under good care as a disciple here, and you're on your way back with more good news. So you come today. If everybody's solid and there are no takers today, and I don't mean to make it sound casual, but if where you are is where you are and you want to stay there, then that's your choice to make today. Because it's between you and the Lord. Certainly. As I told the Christian Academy this morning, the Ephesian letter, Paul tells the church that you got to live your life worthy of the calling that you have, and that calling came from the Lord. Nobody in this room today is uncalled, and God doesn't concern himself about you. You do know that if you, because the Lord counts every hair on your head, you are far more than lilies and grass and birds. You're some kind of somebody to the Lord. And that's good news. God bless you today. We're going to get ready to leave. We got a service in a little bit. I pray you'll please come back this afternoon. Make a day with us. Come back. Might be something special said or done that'll just push you over the edge to that next level living. Don't leave today going, I'm going home. I got to go eat and come on back. That's two Sundays in a row we've had you come back. And thank you last week for coming back to the program. I appreciate that. But today is Super Sunday. We're kicking off National Church Week of Prayer. The fight against HIV and AIDS in our community, the numbers are staggering. But come on back and let's worship today and pray God that we will draw closer to the conclusion of that matter. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this people, the sick among us. We lift them up in prayer, Sister Royal, Sister Lawhorn, Sister Scott's husband, Brother John, people in hospitals and nursing homes. It's good to have Mrs. Penn with us today. It's good to know, God, that you're doing great things in the lives of your people. You're healing them every day. For Deacon Campbell, we pray as well. For so many others, Lord, who are fighting with infections and viruses and other ailments, Lord. Cancer is a big name. Diabetics, arthritic, all kinds of things are happening in your people. But Lord, we know this. By your stripes, we are healed. All sickness is not unto death. And so God, we call upon your name because we know there's power in your name. And so we lift up our brothers and sisters who are in the hospitals, lie upon their beds of affliction. Thank you, God, that there is a ministry of visitation and people who call and are concerned. We bless your name. And for this people who stand with us, Lord, let us always remember. Let us always recognize and rejoice. Let us begin our rehearsals daily. Instead of pouting and complaining about things, we'll just stop and use our rehearsed line if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. So when they lay us off, when they treat us poorly, when sickness comes, when our enemies raise up against us, when adversary and adversity are first cousins together, we have an answer. And we'll stop and just simply say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. And we'll keep going, Lord. We're not going to quit. We're not going to lay down and play dead. We're going to remember and rejoice because we have rehearsed, and we'll report that if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. We're getting ready to turn from this place, but never your presence. We know that you'll be with us, and we know that it shall go well. To God be the glory. And the redeemed of the Lord said amen, amen, and amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm going to be rehearsing on you in a little while. God bless you.